This is the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast. Good morning on the 28th of November, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today on the news by CJ Miller, Greg Allen, and Sophia Shannon, our hat intern. The hat podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. In the news, a Tyson beef plant closure and what that means for its Nebraska community, and more on how beef exports are holding up this year. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says skies should be nice, but not much warmer today. Weekend snow is coming, too. No Thursday markets to report on because of Thanksgiving yesterday, but we'll get some comments from analyst Carl Setzer on what is impacting markets. Straight ahead on the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Shockwaves in the beef industry and trade remains an issue. I'm Greg Allen. This is Hoosier Ag Today. The closure of one of Tyson's major beef plants in Nebraska is sending shockwaves throughout the entire U.S. beef industry. CJ Miller has more.
I'm just in shock along with everybody else.
And that's David Jobman, a cattle producer who lives near Lexington, Nebraska, where the plant is located. And that plant handles about 5,000 head a day and accounts for about 5% of the average daily total U.S. beef slaughter. He thought it was a joke at first, but quickly learned that Tyson's announcement that the plant was closing was no laughing matter.
I'm sure the decision was not made lightly, but that's going to have a huge impact that's going to ripple across the communities around here.
When Tyson announced they were shutting down that particular plant on November 21st, live cattle futures opened limit down. Jobman says the closure will have a negative impact on thousands of beef producers who operate near that Tyson plant in central Nebraska.
Pretty good area that was bringing fattened cattle to Lexington for slaughter, and now you're going to have to find other markets, and added transportation costs are certainly going to be a factor in decision in that.
The announcement comes just weeks after President Trump said he was directing the Department of Justice to investigate the big four U.S. meat packers, including Tyson. Those companies dominate 85% of the U.S. beef processing industry. Tyson says it's laying off 3,200 workers when that plant closes its doors on January 20th. I'm CJ Miller.
From the farm bill to foreign farmland ownership and international trade, ag policy is having a big impact on Indiana farming operations. The Hoosier Ag Today Indiana Ag Policy Podcast provides in-depth coverage on these and many other important and complex issues. Get the details behind the headlines with the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, hosted by Eric Pfeiffer. You can find it at HoosierAgToday.com, the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Trade remains an issue with U.S. exports, but tariffs aren't the only reason why. Sophia Shannon has the story.
President Trump's recent meeting with Chinese President Xi dropped current tariff rates for inbound pork 10%, allowing business to continue. However, beef exports to China have issues bigger than the tariffs.
Since April, virtually all of our plants, 400 plus establishments between slaughter establishments and cold storages, have not been relisted for China. And it's not demand related. Demand was fantastic last year, $1.6 billion in sales on U.S. beef to China. And we still, our largest customers are still demanding it today. They're ready to start tomorrow as soon as plants are relisted.
That was Dan Holstrom, president of U.S. Meat Export Federation. Both USTR and the USDA are aware of the issues and are working to come to a solution.
The demand for U.S. beef in particular, and pork, but in this case beef, is good in the rest of the world, very good. In fact, record-breaking in some places. So when you think about the record pricing earlier this year and the demand still being good in a lot of these markets, I think we're in a very good place.
Holstrom sees many opportunities with both the United Kingdom and the European Union for accessible markets. At the same time, progress is being made with Indonesia, allowing some sales to happen.
We're the gold standard in food safety. If you see a USDA establishment number of XYZ as an example in any market around the world, that in itself is a selling point.
U.S. meats continue to be the preferred meat around the world. Holstrom and USMEF are looking to tackle these restriction issues around the globe. I'm Sophia Shannon.
Find these stories and more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen.
Farmers know that hard work has its rewards. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America has designed our operating loans to work just as hard for you in return. Earn 1.5% cash back on all purchases when you connect your operating loan to our disbursement card. Because in times like these, some extra cash back never hurts. Visit fcma.com/operating to learn more. Disbursement card for use with an operating loan. Operating loans are subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Now on the Hat Podcast, Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by the Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Winds are subsiding a bit here today, still out of the north and northwest, but we're starting to shift from focusing on, well, what happened the past couple of days, which was a major change in pattern and a lake effect, to talking about our next weather system. Now, the good news is today, honestly, we see high pressure trying to make a go at funneling in over the eastern Corn Belt. That's not going to sit here long term. And this high is Canadian in origin. So I'm telling you, we're not going to be any warmer today than the past couple of days. But we should be okay on sky conditions, sky cover, especially central southern Indiana. Now, as we move through the weekend, this is where things get real interesting. A significant low coming out of the west. We told you about this earlier in the week, said today is the day we're going to put out our snow estimates. Here's the story. There will be snow. Now, there's a 100% chance of snow and accumulating snow in parts of Indiana. I think the northern half of the state are going to be where we see the full-on snow accumulations. Southern half of the state's a little more interesting. I think we get some snow accumulations down near Terre Haute, but you get south of US 50, it's mostly rain. I'm not going to rule out sloppy wet snowflakes, but mostly rain, and then you've got a rain-snow mix in there as well. Let's talk about snow up north. I'm going to put out a wide range here because the track of the low was very, very important. Over the course of the past 24 hours or so, we've seen the track slide ever so slightly farther south. So that's bringing some slightly higher snow accumulations into Indiana and southwestern lower Michigan. But here's what I'm seeing right now. I'm going to blanket a large area of northern Indiana, the northern half of the state, with 2 to 8 inches. I think double digits, while they are possible, especially if you see any lake interaction, I don't think they're likely with this system. So I'm going to go 2 to 8 right now. And the way it breaks down is this, probably 6 to 8, 5 to 8 in the north and especially northwestern parts of the state. And then you get into that band in the middle. Let's just say from US 24, well, actually just south of US 24, State Road 26, all the way up to State Road 14 or so. You're probably looking at that 3 to 6 inch band there. And then you get south of State Road 26. There it can be anywhere from a coating to 2-3 inches, just depending on where you're at. Again, the track of this low, very important, but the key takeaway is that snow accumulations will happen from Saturday afternoon right on through Sunday morning over the northern part of the state. Right now, the biggest snow totals seem to want to be a little bit farther west and north, going into Wisconsin, Illinois, even parts of Iowa right now. This is where things are setting up. Again, southern Indiana, rain and snow possible. All right, we spent a lot of time here talking about this, what happens behind it. I think the moisture is done by early to midday on Sunday. May even see a little bit of sunshine try and peek through in central and southern parts of the state Sunday late afternoon. And then all of next week, Monday through Friday, we have a mix of clouds and sunshine. No significant new precipitation, but we are cold. Temperatures remain below normal all week long. I think we see some sunshine in there from time to time, but with strong winds out of the west and northwest, we'll have plenty of, I'm not even going to call them fair weather clouds. I'm going to say lake effect clouds in here, just kind of a hodgepodge, but no big moisture through the week next week. I think we can continue to hold that dry-ish pattern into early the week of the 8th, although seeing another round of brutal cold air trying to settle southward. Mother Nature deciding, hey, it's time, so let's bundle up and be ready. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
The end of the year reinforces the value of collaboration. From neighbors lending a hand to partners sharing know-how, teamwork is essential and is how Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance operates on its mission of enabling viable farms, healthy soil, and clean water. Indiana's ag and commodity groups, alongside state government and conservation leaders, work together to vet practices that improve the environment while protecting farmers' bottom line. Helping Indiana farmers thrive is a win for all.
This is Hoosier Ag Today in the Thursday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. Markets were, of course, closed on Thursday for Thanksgiving, so there are no numbers to report. But Wednesday was a positive day, and at the end of that session, I checked in for some comments with Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. The markets ended the holiday shortened week prior to Thanksgiving on a positive note, and Carl, really, it was a pretty significant move higher in comparison to recent sessions. Strong, especially soybeans and corn. What did you make of that Wednesday move?
Well, it was a reversal of what we saw Monday, Tuesday, and even you can make the case last Friday. We started out with selling pressure, and really it wasn't what I would call heavy selling pressure. We just didn't have buyers coming into the pits here to start out the week. And as it progressed, we obviously did see a little bit more. And then we came in Wednesday, and really Wednesday was what you would call the last trading day of the month, so to speak. We do have Friday's trade coming up, an abbreviated session. But most everybody shored up their positions here Wednesday and walked away and covered some of their weak short positions. But we are starting to see a little buying interest come in the market. And this was evident in corn on Wednesday when we had the announcement, values in China are reaching record high values on their corn, even though they claim to have just harvested a bumper crop. So we're doing a little head scratching on that one. End of the day, it does appear China may end up being a corn importer this year. They've already bought some out of South America for blending. To see them come to the U.S. with the trade negotiations wouldn't hurt. And those trade negotiations really supported trade too. We did get news on Wednesday that China had bought another 10 to 20 vessels of soybeans. We didn't see any flash sales numbers, and we're looking for confirmation on this, but the rumor of it, especially after China's earlier wheat purchases, did give the soy complex much needed support into the break.
Ethanol grind report on Wednesday, and that appeared to be a pretty good report overall. Was it helpful to the market, though?
It really didn't give the market too much support, and we're right. We did see a cut in ethanol stocks. We're getting down to a seasonably low 21-plus million barrels. We had a 339,000-barrel draw on our ethanol stocks, even though production was up about 1.5% on the week. Blender demand was down and exports fell by 20,000 barrels a day. Still, we saw a lot of inter-country demand for ethanol, and that did take care of quite a bit of the stocks we had. The market's been looking a little bit closer at ethanol, though, and some concerns over the feedstock uncertainty and the inputs and the subsidies, the lack of clarity coming out of the White House, all of those factors starting to put a little bit of pressure on the ethanol industry.
Another day and the same old song and dance. We need to see more Chinese soybean purchases. Flash sales announcement only on Monday this week.
Yeah, and then we went dry after that. China is coming in, and what we're seeing, though, is some reports that China may be arbitraging soybeans out of those Argentine purchases that they made here earlier this fall. What that would entail is China had bought the soybeans from Argentina. Argentina is going to swap them contracts with a U.S. supplier and the United States will deliver upon them, that would be really good news for the United States, and it might not show up in the weekly sales report. Some of this Chinese demand likely credited to that rumor that's coming out. Either way, the fact that China is shopping is positive in its own.
Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting, 989-506-1587 is his number. It's the Hat Market Review. Again, no markets on Thursday for Thanksgiving. A shortened day of trade on Friday, closing at 105 Eastern. I'm Andy Eubank. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.